Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful that you can join us for another week.
We absolutely are.
And we're very excited. We have Teresa Reed with us today. I'm going to share some space with us. So I will just read her bio for you. So as a Catholic schoolgirl with her superstitious mother and grandma who felt omens like other folks feel arthritis, it's not too surprising that tarot, astrology, and other intuitive arts would become her driving fascination and her life's work. She picked up her first tarot deck at the age of 15 and kickstarted her career by performing readings on her little sister, who mostly asked questions about the cute boys in class. 30 years later, she's done readings on thousands of clients, from police officers to recovering addicts to new mothers to angst-ridden teens. She's fascinated by the complexity of individual cause and effects and is devoted to helping people make better decisions and lead happier lives. She believes that nothing is fated and everything is fluid, and that the cards have the power to inspire courageous, life-affirming action. But only if you honor your emotional, intuitive reactions for what they really are, a quiet, guiding intelligence. Teresa's one-on-one tarot readings are designed to swiftly illuminate your current circumstances, explore possible choices and outcomes, and unfurl the idea roadmap to the future you want to create. She is frank, forthright, and practical, no astro babble or arcane lingo, and she loves sharing her gift with new clients and experienced tarot cadets alike. She's taking a hiatus right now from reading tarot for the general public to concentrate on her writing and teaching career. She is the author of the Tarot Coloring Book, The Tarot for Troubled Times, Astrology for Real Life, Twist Your Fate, Manifest Success with Astrology and Tarot, and Tarot No Questions Asked, Mastering the Art of Intuitive Tarot Reading. So welcome, Teresa. We're really happy to have you on our podcast.
That's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here today, and I cannot wait to talk with you.
Wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today?
Sure. I think, you know, the bio that you read is pretty close to, you know, how things have panned out for me. And I would say, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in a household that was very religious, but they were also very superstitious. They're old farm folks, you know, and old farm folks, they tend to be, they go with like what they feel in their veins, what they feel in their gut, all of that. And, you know, I remember my grandmother, my mother had visions. I had another grandmother who would light candles and pray to the saints for every little thing that might be happening. So this is kind of the household I grew up in. It was very, there was a lot of magic. There was a lot of mystical stuff. And, you know, we were just really connected also to the earth because there was a lot of gardening and things of that nature. So all of that stuff came really natural, but I didn't find that the religion that I was growing up with gave me any of the real answers I was looking for. So I found that I was really searching, like, okay, well, why am I here? What's my purpose? All of that. And I actually stumbled into astrology, I like to say by accident, because I came to astrology before tarot. The first time I encountered astrology was actually one of the old farmer's almanacs. My uncle, another farmer, he had like detective magazines laying around, and he also always had the old farmer's almanac. And I would look at that. I'd be really interested, fascinated with what was going on in those books. What is the moon? What are these symbols? Why do you fish on this day? Why should you plant on that day? Again, a lot of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And my second introduction to astrology was a girlfriend's mother in high school read my chart. And I felt like it answered so many things. I thought, okay, well, now I'm onto something. And so I started studying astrology. And then I came into tarot by accident also on one of these outings when we were at the mall and I was at the bookstore looking for astrology books, and I saw a tarot deck. And I was very curious because, of course, a lot of us have seen them in movies. And so I remember thinking, oh, okay, I'm gonna just take this thing home. And so I took it home, unwrapped that, and I became instantly fascinated. The images, the symbols, the stories they were telling. And so pretty much by the time I was 15, I've either had my face looking up at the stars or my hands on a tarot deck ever since that time. Never in a million years did I think it would become a career. That, I mean, at that stage, we're talking about, you know, a long time ago, because I'm almost 60 now. And back then, who nobody grows up to think I'm going to be a tarot reader. I'm going to write about tarot or any of that. Or, you know, I just couldn't fathom that. And that also kind of happened by accident, because I was doing readings all the time. And I ended up doing readings when I was doing a bartending gig, and that ended up becoming a very popular day when I was working. And then folks would come in and say, I'll pay you to get more of a reading. And so basically, it kind of morphed from there. So a lot of this stuff I like to think is accidental, but maybe if we keep an open mind, there was something there that was drawing me, and I was just one of those people that happened to follow the breadcrumbs of my intuition until it led me to where I am today.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I think that is funny how you get drawn to things throughout your life and then they, end up becoming part of your life. 'Cause I remember as a kid, I was always at the library. I loved the library, and I was always reading books about witches and spells and magic and tarot and things like that. So it was really interesting. Also, my mother always did readings and palmistry, and there was always that in the house. And it was like, here's some tea leaves, see what you see, and taught me from a very young age. But you're right, there is those little breadcrumbs if we listen to them. And
Yes, and you and I would have been best friends because all my childhood was in the library. I didn't want to play with other kids. I was in the library also reading books about all kinds of magical things and legends and fables and all of that. So we would have been in there together, hanging out nonstop.
exactly. Yeah. And I mean, and I still love the library because what a great place that we can go get all this knowledge if you can't afford the books and you can't afford the different things, right? To I think that's one thing that we've had such a positive thing, even with the computer and things like that. So much information is available to us out there. And I
Yeah, and lucky you, you grew up with a mother who did divination. How amazing is that?
It was fun.
It was great. And I have to say, my girlfriends also loved it because they'd be like, Mom.
Yeah, I would have been over at your house every weekend, believe me. I would have been like, let me come over after the library.
Exactly.
They thought it was funny. They thought it was a lot of fun. It was great to have them all there too. Plus, I knew where she was too. So,
I think too when I had that opportunity, because I feel like the more that you have that opportunity to delve into some of those things and you're not being told, no, that's bad, that's not the way you should be doing it, don't look at those things, the more open you can become and the more things you can find to find out what your true path is.
I agree. And I think it's really important too for parents when your children show an interest in something, provided of course it's not something really frightening, that we have to like really open our minds and let them follow their breadcrumbs. My son, I remember when he was an infant, he had this amazing sense of rhythm. And I just looked at him, his father was a musician. I thought, this kid's going to be a drummer. And so I was not surprised when he grew up and started really getting interested in drumming. And we just encouraged him. And he went on to get his master's in music. He's got a minor in jazz studies. He's a percussionist. He plays all over the country. And it's amazing. And my daughter also really showed an interest in books and writing. And so we just said, let's get out of the way. Let's just encourage it. And so she is also working as a writer and editor.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
might as well.
Amazing.
Good for her.
That is very
That's
amazing.
both of them, actually. Yeah. Good stuff.
So I have a question for you. You said I read or heard on one of your Instagrams or because I follow you. You said you believe nothing is fated and everything is fluid. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Although I believe that sometimes things happen that we cannot explain, so there is an element of fate I'm very open-minded to. But when it comes to divination, you can't just say, this is what's going to happen, this is it, that's the absolute end-all, be-all, guarantee, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that because people can make decisions and we can alter our fate. And I really firmly believe that. In fact, I wrote a book, Twist Your Fate, all about that. And one of the reasons why I wanted to write that book is because oftentimes people have a misconception that if they come to a tarot reader or an astrologer and they're told, you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger, that they don't have to do any work. They can just sit home in their pajamas. It's just going to show up magically. It's meant to be. And then they're disappointed when they find out it doesn't happen that way, that you still have to take action. And by taking action, it isn't just perceiving that life is happening to you. It is about making the life happen to what you want it to be. Now, I also think when we do readings, we have to be very careful that we don't get into this thing of thinking that we know it all either. Because again, people can make different decisions. I often say the cards are always right, but you know, we could be wrong in our interpretation. And again, we can always change our destiny. And one of my favorite stories, and I share this one all the time, is many years ago, I was dating somebody and this person wasn't being honest. There was someone else involved. And I'm like, you're not being straight up with me. I'm going to go and get a tarot reading. And so I got a tarot reading and the reader sat down and said, well, the only card I remember is the Three of Wands. And she says, everything's going to work out for you. He's going to choose you. It's all going to work out. And she's going to be on the outside looking in. And I was remembering my face just kind of sitting like, and so I went home and I dumped him immediately. I completely changed everything. I said, I'm not going to wait around for some dude. That's not how I operate. And so I broke up. It was done. And then many years later, we reconnected as friends. And we've been great friends now for, you know, over 30 years. And there was one time, oh, by the way, he married her and they had kids. But there was, yes. So this reader, I thought this reader is wrong, but they had also divorced then. And he and I were like, I was visiting and we were at a pizza restaurant. And so we're sitting there just having pizza, having a good conversation. And all of a sudden, here she comes and she stands outside the restaurant and she's on the outside of the restaurant looking in.
Oh, wow.
And I just sat there and I thought, wow. The reading was technically correct, but I made changes along the way because I'm like, I'm not going to do this. So we always have to remember the cards can see something. Your chart may show a tendency, but you always have agency. There are choices you can make. And you might find a lot of times the information that comes up later on, you're going to look at it and say, well, maybe it didn't quite work out that way. That's where the fluidity comes in. So there's nothing that's really quote unquote fated that your free will doesn't have a say in.
Yeah. Yeah, we would believe that for sure.
Totally. I say that to people when I do a reading. I say to them, you know, if I'm telling you something and you're totally going, no, 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 what is being said, then when you walk out of here today, it will be no, because that's what you want it to be. And there's nothing I can change about how you've made your decision on that, you know, so I can only give you what you really want to hear, you know, and everything else will be either later you'll pick up on it and think, oh yeah, I remember she said something like that, or you won't. It's just that simple about a reading, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad reader, you know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I've always thought and said to people when I read for them, this is like a roadmap. It's like, here's your big map, and I'm going to tell you what the universe wants you to know and stuff. But that doesn't mean because I've told you that you need to keep following down that direction. If you're like, hey, this other way is much quicker, sort of like you did, make that change because you have that free will to change it. So I think that's important for people to know when they're getting readings that just because they're told something
doesn't matter.
They have that free will change that.
Right. And we as readers also have to educate people on that. And so we have to be able to say, look, this is what it's showing. This is the path you're on. And most likely this is where it's heading towards. But if this doesn't look the way you want, what steps can you take to lead you in the direction that you want? And also, is this healthy for you? Yeah. Are you considering, is this for your highest good? Yeah. You know, so it's very important to be in dialogue with your client to make sure that the information they're receiving is going to be empowering. And not just this is what it is, et cetera, because that doesn't help anybody. It does lead to people being very passive with their lives. And tarot and astrology, they are not passive arts.
No,
they're to guide you. Yeah. Like you said, it's a roadmap. That's the best way to describe it. It is a map. Now, what are you going to do with that map?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're giving you suggestions. And it's what you do with these, with the information you've just received, right? That's how I see it too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're not there to push their mind in any direction or not. We're trying to help them. No. In any way possible we can, right?
Exactly. So when you read cards, because I know how we read cards, but when you read the tarot, do you go by what kind of would be the written word of what each card means, or do you put your intuition into it, or how do you go about reading?
I use a little bit from column A and a little column B. I think it's really important for every tarot reader, if we're talking about tarot astrology for that matter too. Astrology is a very big, vast subject, and it's super complicated, and so is tarot in its own way. But tarot is very much like a picture book, and each card has a meaning that's attached to it. And there's all symbols that are very universal that we can look at, and we can, even if you don't read tarot, you can look at it and pretty much ascertain what's going on in those cards. And knowing some of the foundational information, I think, is important. I think you need to know, okay, what does a five mean in tarot? And what is the role of the Hierophant? And how might that show up? What if that Hierophant represents you? You should have all of those basic things down. But we don't want to get hung up on those, because our intuition may have a very different interpretation based on something we're picking up on, the way the cards are going together, or the person that's sitting across from us. And one of the things I like to say is, it's kind of like building a house. You need the foundation. You need a strong foundation. That should come in your tarot knowledge. You should know the history. You should know what those cards mean, the numbers mean, all of that. And once you have that solid foundation, then your intuition comes along like an interior designer, and it makes it beautiful. It puts it all together in the best way possible. That's how we want to treat that. And sometimes I come across these, I think they're well-meaning teachers who will say, oh, just throw away the book. You don't need that. Just go with whatever your gut says. I don't think that's wise. I think you do need that foundation. And one of the things that we want with the foundation also is it works like a springboard. Like when you understand what those cards mean, at least the very basics, now your intuition can get to work, because there's many different meanings for those cards, and you'll find your own meanings with your intuition. But it still creates, again, that foundational knowledge, that springboard, so your intuition can do its job better and more effectively. I've had readings from people that just wing it, you know, and those have never been really grounded readings. They tend to be very flaky, and they tend to be like they're pulling at straws. I found the best readings I've ever had have always been from people who understand the cards, who understand how they tell a story, but they've also been people who trusted their intuition.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I would agree with that. So as a fun question, tarot cards, oracle cards, both. And I think I know your answer, because I think I heard you say this on an Instagram live.
I prefer tarot. I think oracle cards are lovely. They can give guidance, but there's nothing like tarot for getting down and dirty and getting the information that you need. I really, really love it. And it's really funny, because this is one of the, here's how I kind of operate my own life. I use astrology every single day of my life. And I want to know where the moon is. I want to know if we're in a Mercury retrograde. So I use that as my roadmap, so that I can make good decisions and move with the energy. However, tarot is always the best tool for cutting through the noise. So astrology, like if I again had to use an analogy, our natal chart is our roadmap. The current transits in the sky is the traffic. And so we can move with the traffic or against it. That's why we want to learn what's happening all the time around us. But tarot will find your detours. Tarot is always that thing that's going to say, okay, yeah, all this is going on, but here's what you need to do. So tarot is what I use to cut through the noise, to find my detours, to find my way around the most difficult situations. It's always tarot.
Yeah. Okay.
And oracle cards, again, they're nice for guidance. I love oracle cards. I got a ton of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's if I want to like read something, oh, I need a little spiritual thought for the day. I want to feel spiritual. Not if I want to be strategic. Oracle cards are not for strategy. Those are like, okay, here's guidance. Give yourself a hug today. Yada, yada, yada. Whereas tarot is going to be like, oh, you got the five of swords, you're dealing with enemies. You need to get the heck out of there. That's useful info.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so with astrology, how would you suggest somebody started if that's what they wanted to bring into their lives to kind of know how their day is going? What would you suggest is like some of the basic things that they need to know to start on that journey?
Well, first of all, with astrology, you should start with your natal chart. your natal chart is your birth chart, and that is a map, and that's based on, you know, where the planets were at the time you were born. So it's like a snapshot. And so begin by understanding yourself. I think that's really, really important. When you understand yourself and how your makeup is and what your tendencies are and your strengths and your weaknesses, then, you know, ultimately it doesn't matter what's happening in the cosmos or in your life. You understand you, we solved a big part of the problem. And when I look at astrology, it's interesting. I have a so-called bad astrology chart. I mean, I've had astrologers look at it and gasp because it's nothing but heart angles. But I've learned how to work with that. I love my chart. I'm like, oh, no, you guys got this all wrong. This is complicated, and this is a good thing. You know, so I really am about understanding yourself, knowing how to work with yourself, find the things that are the difficult stuff in your chart, work with that first, improve that stuff, break the wheel, and then suddenly you are moving in your life as the best version of you. Always start with that. Become the best version of you by understanding yourself. Now, once you understand yourself, it's time to start understanding not just your place in the world, but how things are operating around you, and also how other people are operating around you. You know, when you understand other people's charts, now you know how to be engaged with them in a healthy way. And when you understand the planets and how they're operating now also around you, it's like, okay, the moon is going to be in Aries, or maybe the moon is in Taurus. Well, on the moon in Aries days, I know I can go lightning speed, but I got to be careful not to burn out. Moon in Taurus, I can slow down, eat all the comfort food, and, you know, make sure that I'm taking good care of myself. Oh, it's Mercury retrograde. Probably going to slow down if I'm traveling. You know, so just knowing that information really helps us live our best lives, not in an obsessive way, just like it's always in the back of my head. And, you know, and understanding other people's charts, I think, is really important. You want better relationships? Astrology charts like a little manual. Doesn't mean you're going to get along with everybody, but at least we can cope. We can figure out how to interact, and again, how to make it healthy. And my favorite story with that is my daughter. When my daughter was born, she hates this story with a passion. I had her planned by astrology. I said, oh my God, I got to have a Leo daughter. I wanted a daughter. I wanted a Leo. I had it all planned out. My ex-mother-in-law thought I was nuts. She says, what if it's not a girl? I said, yeah, I'm not listening. And she ended up, I had a perfect due date. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the perfect kid. She ended up coming 3 weeks early, just made Leo, ruined my little master plan. And the first thing I did, as all astrology mothers do, is as soon as they wheeled her away, I did her chart. And I looked at this chart, and I'm like, oh, no. This child was like, her chart is all fixed signs. Mine is all mutable. We're very different animals, and our moons are opposing. And I was just like devastated. Like, how am I going to get along with this kid? Oh my God. I was a very young mother, very immature, but I'm like, how am I going to get along with this kid? Oh my God. But what I realized then, after I got over my being mad about it, not getting my way, was like, oh, okay. Her moon, this is what she needs. Gotcha. And she's got all this fixed energy. Gotcha. This is how I need to deal with her so we can have a healthy relationship. We both have stubborn moons. We have to learn to give ourselves space when we're feeling stubborn. We have to make sure that we are setting good boundaries with each other. She has to understand that my private time is not a reflection of anything negative. I have to understand she needs a lot of affection and a lot of touch. And, you know, by understanding each other, we can develop that relationship that's going to be healthy. We have the best relationship. We are like best buddies. We talk three times a day. We're like always in each other's stuff, not in an unhealthy way, but because we love each other and we have a very, very strong bond. Right. And when some problems come up in our relationship, we know how to communicate so that we are understood and we both feel respected and we can compromise.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the magic of all that stuff.
It is so.
And I think that's, yeah, I remember, not that I can remember them now, but I remember when the boys came around, it was like, okay, what's their signs? You know, how are we going to relate with each other? You know?
Yeah, I did that too.
How stubborn are they going to be?
Astrologer parents all do the same thing. And you know, it's funny, when my son was born, oh, he had an easy chart. Oh, I looked at that chart like, and his chart, oh my God, he had all like the air stuff, and I'm very air oriented too. So I'm like, Awesome. And him and I always got along like two peas in a pod. Don't get me wrong, he could be very stubborn. He's an Aquarius. And I remember my mother would say, "Oh, you've got a different set of rules for him and her." Like she thought I was favoring him. I said, No. They do need different rules. They're two very different people. She's fixed. She needs structure, structure. That's important to her. He needs the freedom. And you got to pick your battles wisely, or I'm going to end up in it with him all the time.
That's
So I
right.
just need to give him breathing room. He's all air. Let him breathe. And she needs to touch earth. And, my mother couldn't get it, but, my kids and I are both, all three of us are thick as thieves. We're super close.
Same with us.
Yeah, that was how we were raised. Like we were very close with mom, and it was like, yeah, she knew, right? This is what I needed something different. I'm a Capricorn, so I'm an earth sign. I need that structure. I need that. And brother's a Pisces, so
He's a swimmer.
he's more, on the go and creative. And those were what we create. And then, for me, when I had my boys, I have a Virgo, so that's handy because he too is structured. And then I have a Sagittarius, so.
Oh, yeah, Sagittarius needs to roam. Oh my God. They're delightful children, but if you pin them down too much, you are going to be in for a ride.
They're gonna be here
Yeah.
right back.
And now in my, as I call it, my second life, I am now my husband and my granddaughter who we're raising are both Aquarius.
Ah, fun. So you got all that air energy to lighten you up.
Yeah. So it's always interesting, right? So I love that you said that about the relationships, and I think it'd be interesting for a lot of people if they did find out about themselves and the people around them, because I agree. I think it makes a total difference in how you
Oh, it
interact with
sure
each
is.
other.
It is.
Yeah, and you can get along with everybody much better if you just understand and respect the differences. One of the things I find that really is problematic in love relationships, well, it could be parents too, but love relationships particularly, people will get involved with somebody and they'll come to a tarot reader because it's not going well. And it's like, listen, you've got to learn how to relate to each other. You can't try to change your partner and force them to be something they're not to fit this mold that you've heard from this show like Sex in the City. It doesn't work like that. You've got to understand, you've got to respect, you've got to work together, and you've got to recognize where you're different and find a way to work with that. That's what relationships are about. They're about relating, not just this thing that you get together and suddenly it's happily ever after, or that it's always going to be easy with people in your life. It's not. So learn about them, and then we can make it better. And always, always, always with tarot and astrology and all of that, a good reader is about healthy stuff, moving you towards healthy dynamics, moving you towards making healthy decisions. And when you understand other people, we can be healthy now.
Very true. Very well said, too.
I think so too, because it is about getting healthier and making better decisions for ourselves to leave the best. I think to really, all we really want at our soul's purpose is to live their best authentic life that we can. And so I think by, moving people when we are readers or energy workers in any way towards that light, because we need that. There's just too much darkness otherwise in a lot of times. And people do tend to come to readers when they are in a not
The
good
situation.
situation or confused or need a little bit of, it's like, can
Guidance.
I have that lantern just to show me the way a little bit to where I need to go?
Good way.
That's a really great way of saying that, because I think also a lot of people have misconceptions that people only come to us for entertainment, or they come to hear about, again, the tall, dark stranger. Those are stereotypes. And while a lot of people come to talk about love or work or money, a lot of people come to readers for dark, heavy stuff. When they are feeling lost, when they are feeling beaten down, when they feel confused, when they feel like they're in a very hard situation, that shows up at the tarot table. I just wrote a book called The Cards You're Dealt: How to Deal When Life Gets Real. And the reason why I wrote that book is because I thought, okay, we need a guidebook on what to use tarot for when you're dealing with grief, loss, illness, caregiving, those really heavy things, because they come to the tarot table all the time. And I know that when I've gone through hard stuff, what did I do? I reached for the tarot deck. Get me through this. And I think that, and the book also tells professional readers, you know, how to deliver sensitive but helpful readings in those situations. We need more conversations about those types of readings, because all the time you hear people talking about these love readings in the movies, it's always like the reader is, you know, predicting James Bond is going to die or find love. And it's like, wait a minute. Tarot can be therapeutic. It's not a replacement for therapy, but it can be therapeutic.
Yeah.
Tarot can help you get in touch with all those crappy feelings you're feeling sometimes. I just find tarot to be so incredibly helpful when life is dark. So like you said, it's like that lantern. Totally.
Yeah. So do you feel there's areas where as a reader, you shouldn't tell people things about death, sickness? Is there anything that you think, in your opinion, is off limits of what you shouldn't say?
I think asking about your ex's sex life is none of your business. I'm going to say that really bluntly, because I cannot tell you how many times people want to go spy on their ex. First of all, I'm of the opinion when it's an ex, it's an ex. Leave it alone. Be done with it. Stop obsessing over that. Those are very aggravating readings for me. People who used to, when I used to read for the public, who would be focused also on getting an ex back. But that's a waste of your energy. Focus on the present. Move forward. Asking about your date of death. First of all, no one's going to be able to predict that accurately. Second of all, what a morbid question. Don't do that. Don't put a reader in that position. And a lot of people do that because they think they're funny.
Yes,
you know, and I don't like that. Also, if you're expecting your reader to take the place of a therapist, a lawyer, a doctor, Tarot cannot diagnose and prescribe. We cannot take that role. So these are things we need to leave alone. And so readers have to set a lot of boundaries with people. And what I found, sometimes they're not going to listen to the boundaries. So you just have to steer the questions in different ways. I don't like questions about, you know, that are prying into stuff that's none of your business. I really don't dig that. So there are a lot of things I think you got to be careful about mm-hmm. when you're reading for the public, but the public also needs to know these are not appropriate things. But mm-hmm. my number one misappropriate thing that I don't like, or inappropriate, I mean, is when people want to spy on their ex. I don't like that. Leave it alone. None of your business.
Yeah. I like that. And then we feel the same way as far as the things that are our boundaries too. And you're right. You do need to put up those clear boundaries when you're doing readings, because people try to step over them, and you have to be strong enough to be able to say, you know, like I often will tell people before I read, I'm not a doctor, not God.
Yep.
Right. So there's things I can't tell you because that's not my job.
Right.
My job is to, you know, read the cards and use my intuition and get what I'm getting for you. And that's my job.
That's
those
right.
Other things, well, there's people out there for that.
Yeah.
I also think people have a misconception that we can see all and be all at all places at all time. And I'm like, I'm not Santa Claus.
That's right.
I do not see all, you know, we can't. That's impossible. Sometimes we're going to misread things. Sometimes mm-hmm. the client has a big wall up. They don't want you to see into anything.
Oh, true.
And also sometimes we have people who play games.
Yes,
they come to the tarot table, they play games. Well, how are you going to get a straight up reading then?
Yeah.
If you do that,
yeah.
You won't.
Yeah. I remember one time I read for someone and I started reading and I could only just see this like brick wall, which made me think of that. And it was like this brick wall. And I said to them, you know what, honestly, thank you, but I'm not going to be able to read for you because you have this big brick wall. And I'm just guessing at this point, really, because you're not even letting that energy flow between us. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I can go ahead. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I oftentimes too, when I do a reading, is I'll say to them when they sit down and I say to them, can you just take a deep breath?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, really? I said, well, yeah, because you're making me hold my breath. So you need to take a deep breath so I can breathe better.
Yes.
And it's like, what? About you? But it is, because the energy is not flowing, right? if they're not breathing properly and relaxing, we're going, okay, what are you going to give it to us? Okay, you're going to talk to me, or what are you going to do? You're going to stand up there, or are you going to be here? Right? And that's how you do a good reading.
Well, tarot is a two-way street, is what you're illustrating.
Yes.
You're illustrating that beautifully, Barb. That is what it is.
Thank you. It is, yeah. Because they need to know that too, you know. Like, but I have to say, please take a deep breath. Then sometimes I've even said, "Can you take three of them?"
Yes, yes.
Like, woo, you got me as tight as can be here, sitting across from you, right? So yeah.
Yeah, one of my other favorite is you tell somebody that doesn't know you very well. Like, I've got into work and I've said to somebody, "Oh, you know, I'm a reader," and they're like, honestly, I have better things than to walk around and read everybody. Like, imagine all day long. Like, no, I have some boundaries. So
that we're supposed to too.
You need to give me that. Okay, I want you to tap into that, right? Before I'm going to probably, I mean, not that things don't pop up, they creep in sometimes when they're not allowed, but as a general.
Right.
Whenever you try to keep your privacy, then their privacy, right?
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. It's about asking for consent is what you're illustrating. And I think that's really important. Exactly. And here's one of the things I think people also have a misconception. It's because of these shows, like you'll see a psychic walk up to someone and just start blabbing about what they see. That's really invasive.
Oh yeah.
Professional readers don't do that. We're like, oh no, we're not interpreting. Like you said, we can have little things pop up, but the only time I'm ever going to have my guard completely down is if it's Jason Momoa. Now I'm going to be very interested in what I'm picking up on from him. But other than that, that stuff is closed down. We don't walk around like little antennas.
No.
We have to keep it closed down because we have to respect other people's energetic boundaries. Yeah. And also, if you are constantly open like that, you're going to go mad.
Really? Yes. Yes. You would.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You would, because you wouldn't even trust your own feelings at one point, right? Because you're empathic, stuff comes through, and yeah, you wouldn't even know how to be your own self. I know I had to learn how to do that in my first years of working with this, was how to protect myself, because I would go into some place and I'd be like, whoa, impounded by all these emotions and feelings, and it's like, whoa, that's way too much stuff.
yes
so
I know that all too well too. Like you, Barb, I had to really learn to protect my boundaries. Are still pretty leaky. Okay. And one of the things I say about energy workers and tarot readers and astrologers and psychics, we all have terrible boundaries. It makes us very good at our work, but it also gets us in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
So putting up those energetic boundaries is like, we have to practice that every single day. It's my life lesson.
Because even it's the words, how they come out of your mouth, that are also boundaries. And, you know, and it's like you're saying to somebody, like, if I were, no, a suggestion would be.
Yes.
So you pick up on that wording, like, as it's about to come out, and you go, ooh, that just spoke to came out wrong. That's not what it was supposed to be. Yes.
So I'm curious, Kim, now you're a Capricorn. Do you feel your boundaries, that's not a problem for you? Or do you still also... Because, you know, Capricorns also have this reputation as being, we're structure, boundary. Do you feel it applies to you?
I feel like I do have boundaries, but I do find that I don't always have them up. So, yeah, I find if I walk around, we were actually just having this conversation. If I walk around with my boundaries really firmly strong up, I find that it impacts me, that I can't actually live in a kind of a positive, happy way, because I'm too bound by my own constrictions that I've put on myself. And so because of that, I have to bring those boundaries down a little bit, where my instinct is actually to put them up a lot of times.
Yeah.
Do you get rigid then?
Yes. Yeah.
And Barb, what sign are you? I didn't catch it.
I'm a Virgo.
Okay, Virgo. I live with a Virgo. I know all about Virgos. They're immutable signs. So even though they're earth signs, they are mutable, and mutable signs tend to be a little leakier with their boundaries.
Yes.
even Earth sign Virgo, there's that again, because mutable signs, we're like, oh, we can go with the flow, and that always gets us in trouble.
And yes, way too much go with the flow.
It definitely does. So how did you get the name of the Tarot Lady? Because I know that that's what you're kind of known for all over. So how did you get that name stick to you?
It's just what my clients would call me. They're like, oh, I had to come and see my Tarot Lady, you know? And so when I put the website together, I'm like, yeah, I'll just use that, because that's what they always refer to me as, is, oh, I got to go see that Tarot Lady, you know? so it's kind of stupid. It's like, I mean, it's not very, I guess, original sounding, but that's what I always got called.
I like
it. You're that Tarot Lady. So I'm like, yeah, we're just going to go with that.
Well, I and liked it. It intrigued me when I like found you on Instagram. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Okay, let's check her out, right? And I've seen some of your lives where you do your readings and things like that, which I love, because you have such a down-to-earth personality that I feel like you're so relatable when you're on there, that I just really enjoy watching you do that. So yeah. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Well, I always say, if you're going to be on camera or anything, you're better off just being yourself, because at some point people are going to figure out if you're putting on an air anyways. It's so funny, because when I started doing my little thing on Instagram, first of all, I want to say I hate the camera.
Okay.
I despise being on camera. I hate getting my picture taken. I don't like any of that stuff. But at the time, I had a book coming out, and my publisher said, "Say, can you do like some kind of Instagram live thing for promotion?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Oh, my most hated thing ever." I said, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." So I ended up doing this little thing. It was like a 12-day astrology thing. And then after the 12 days, some people were like, "Hey, we really like this. Are you going to keep something going here?" I'm like, let me try. And then the pandemic happened, and I'm like, you know, so I started really doing my triple T, I call it, to kind of help people navigate this terrible, terrible time we were living in. And so now I've been doing this Instagram live for over 3 years, which is ridiculous when I think about it. And I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, it was like, I didn't even know the technology. I'm like, oh my God, one more thing to learn, you know? And I never like being in front of the camera, but I just go up there. I'm myself. I just talk in my own lingo. I'm like, if someone doesn't like it, they're going to move on. They'll find somebody else. I'm just going to do it like this off the cuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Well, and it's funny, because I so often say that, because people are like, oh, that's great, you do this podcast. I said, 10 years ago, you would have said to me, in 10 years, you're going to be doing a podcast, you're going to be putting your face all over social media and doing this. I'd have been like, no, I'm not actually. Because one, I actually am a little bit
introverted
and don't like to be on camera.
And we both are.
So yeah, like, and you're right.
Sides.
You wing it and you be authentically yourself, and you're right. The people that like you, and the ones that don't,
they can't
want to find someone
it.
That they do.
And that's right.
Yep.
That's why there's so many of us out there too.
Yes. And the wonderful thing is, there's so many readers. There's somebody for everybody.
Yes.
I'm not the end all and be all for everyone. There is someone for everyone. And by the way, I'm an introvert too. I love being alone. I love being alone. I can't even believe I'm married, because I love being alone. So it's hard to be out there. And, you know, and I think for anybody who's an introvert or who's doing this work, you put yourself out there, you're worried that people might not like you. You got to get that out of your system. And just remember, the right people will find their way to you. And the people that aren't for you, there's so many other amazingly talented people that are there for them. Yeah. And I've had readings from many people over the years too. Some people are perfect for me. Like, for example, I get an astrology reading from Sam Reynolds every year. And Sam Reynolds is like really like straightforward. He's got a pretty blunt approach, which I appreciate. Yeah. And so Sam and I have been working together now. I've had a reading for Sam like every year for like the last, I think, 5 years.
Nice.
And he works great for me. But some people don't want a blunt approach. They're going to want something softer. They may want to talk about angels, or maybe they want somebody who sees their aura. That's not interesting to me. I want someone who's like Sam. And
Yeah.
that's the beauty of the internet now. You can find so many different readers, and you can watch their shows. You can listen, like we're listening to your podcast. People can listen and they can say, oh my gosh, I really love the way Kim is presenting things, or Barb really said something that spoke to my soul. Now maybe these are the people I can go to. Or maybe, oh, let me just check out this other person.
Yeah,
The
yeah.
internet gives you the ability to vet your reader, to find the one that is right for you.
Yeah, which is
Yeah,
so
and
beautiful.
I love that about the
Yeah,
podcast, because
yeah.
I even find that when I'm looking at things, right, is, and I think our mission has been to bring on different people for people to see. You know, we actually did interview Sam Reynolds, so that was exciting too. Yeah,
I love him.
and he's wonderful, right? And you're right, straightforward, and asks the questions.
But
And
you like it. You love it.
but it's nice, because our mission was really envisioned, I guess, more so was really to bring different people,
To
for
do
people
this.
to see, oh yeah, this is the way I want to go, or no, this is the way I want to go, or here's the information that sticks with me, and some of it will, some of it won't.
Yeah. Because everybody has their own path of how they want to do it, right?
Yep.
And how their strong point on what they believe in. And so, which is really nice too, because with doing this, then people get to see that, oh yeah, they're on the same vision as me. No,
Yes.
on the same vision as me, right? So then that's a really nice way to go with it, because then you can exactly go after it, the one you pick for you. You know, sometimes we have to go alter that, but you know, they're learning that. I'm hoping through this that they're going, oh, there's other possibilities that is going to take us into that bliss in our life, by watching maybe a little bit of this one too. So yeah, it's
Yeah.
pretty cool.
So if there was one message that you could give to our followers that you think was important, what would it be?
One message: you are always in the driver's seat. You can change the course at any time. Don't think because your life is going in a direction right now that's difficult or painful that this is your forever time. You can always rewrite your story if you don't like the way it's going. I really want people to hear you are powerful. You can do this.
Perfect. I love that.
Perfect message
That's
today.
a wonderful, wonderful
Beautiful.
message. So thank you. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure, the best place always is to go to my website, thetarotlady.com, and they can sign up for my newsletter. It's free. That'll tell you everything that I've got going on in my life at the time. And there's always something going on. And also, I am on some social media, mostly Instagram, and Threads, and I have a Facebook play page. But mainly Instagram is where I do most of my stuff. So that's where to find me. And my handle is the Tarot Lady, of course.
Perfect. Well, it's been so much fun having you on with us,
Has so,
and
yeah.
you just got crazy amount of information,
Good
and
energy too, by the
thank you, thank you.
way. Look forward to reading your books now. I have a little list of them, and so thank you so much for being on. We'd love to have you back sometime if you'd
You
like to
bet.
be, and yeah, just thank
Yes, thank you.
you. Thank you, and I will be back anytime you want me.
All
So
right.
feel free to reach out.
Thank you,
Wonderful.
thank you,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
And everybody else, follow along, and we'll see you next
You
week.
bet you will.